T-Mobile has invested billions to light up America's largest 5G network, from big cities to small towns, including right here in yours. And great coverage is just the beginning. Right now, families and small businesses can save up to 20% versus AT&T and Verizon when they switch. Visit your local T-Mobile store today.
Plan savings with 3 lines of T-Mobile Essentials versus comparable available plans. Plan features and taxes and fees may vary.
Baseball is back, basketball is heating up, and the NFL draft is right around the corner. Listen to the latest on the teams you love here on the Odyssey app. The biggest sports radio stations in the country, providing unrivaled local coverage of their teams, all in one place. Exclusive interviews with players, coaches, and team executives, streaming live and always available on demand. Stay in the know with your favorite teams right here on the Odyssey app.
Afternoon, all, and thank you for being with us on this Monday, the 18th of January, Martin Luther King Day, and it's also supposedly it's Blue Monday, the day when we're supposedly the least happy. It would seem that many are, in fact, in sync with Blue Monday. Glad to have you with us today at 106.3 WORD, the Upstate's talk station, also 106.3WORD.com. At 101.5 FM in Anderson and 95.1 FM in Clemson, Pickens, and Seneca. Jim Bohannon in for Charlie James with the Ingalls Markets talk line available for you at 1-800-347-1063, 1-800-347-1063, and the Common Sense Retirement Planning text line at 71307, 71307. See what some of the texters are saying out here today. Jimbo, what exactly is the difference between socialism and communism? Well, there are differences, and they should be noted. First of all, socialism and communism are not the same thing, and socialism does not automatically lead to communism any more than pot automatically leads to heroin. If you really believe they are the same, tell me how many gulags there are in Sweden. And the answer is, of course, none. Socialism is a really dumb way to run an economy. It is, at its extreme, state ownership of basic industries like U.S. Steel or IBM or General Motors. And to a lesser extent, it is inordinate government influence in our lives, be it in health care, in medicine, in you name it. Socialism in general leans in the direction of too much government. Communism is simply a form of fascism and the brutality of things like, well, the salt mines in Siberia, the classic example, of course, of the millions of people killed by Mao Zedong and Joe Stalin in China and the Soviet Union, respectively. You don't see millions of people getting killed in places like Denmark or Norway, for example. So that's the basic difference. And something else, there are some places that are both socialistic and very capitalistic. Take Sweden, for example. Okay, they believe in the cradle-to-grave coverage. They believe in extensive pensions and free college, which of course means somebody else paying for college and medical care and all the rest of that. But the Swedes have figured out that you can't afford all of that unless you have a really vibrant free enterprise economy. And so if you run a business in Sweden, yeah, you pay taxes. You pay unbelievable taxes. But in point of fact, I'll put it this way, as individuals, you pay taxes. But if you're a business, you don't have to put up with nearly the OSHA regulations and EPA regulations we do in this country, because they couldn't afford their little socialist heaven if they didn't have a pretty vibrant free enterprise economy. So that's the principal difference. Communism is one of the most terrible abominations ever imposed on humanity, ever. Socialism is a really dumb way to run an economy. I don't favor either one, but there is a difference. All right. Now, the texter says, according to Karl Marx and Das Kapital, socialism is a necessary step on the way to communism. Well, first of all, it may be a step on the way, but it certainly doesn't always lead to that. Another thing is, if you had dropped Karl Marx into Red Square, say, about 1980, he wouldn't have known where he was, and he certainly wouldn't have believed that the nightmare that was before him was created by his way of thinking. In point of fact, socialism, for example, something else that's different, socialism can be voted out of office and has been in a number of places. You've never seen communism voted out of office, so there is a difference. All right. Texter says the Constitution is the same for Republicans and Democrats. Okay. Joe Lieberman also claimed to be an independent, voted with Democrats. First of all, Joe Lieberman, for the bulk of his life, was a Democrat, a card-carrying Democrat. In fact, he was Al Gore's running mate in 2000. He was a Democrat. Now, he lost the Democratic primary because he didn't have the right progressive thinking. He lost the Democratic primary in Connecticut, and so he then stayed on the general election ballot as an independent, and he wound up getting the votes of independents and Republicans that year and beat the Democratic nominee. So for his last term in office, he was an independent. And in many ways, he did vote with Democrats, but not enough. They didn't like Joe. They didn't like Joe. All right. Another texter says, BLM is named to hide intentions. Well, that's very true. Like naming KKK puppies and kittens. How can you be against puppies and kittens? Very true. Black Lives Matters. That's very true. Black Lives Matters, first of all, as a statement, yes, they do. Like all lives matter. But BLM, the movement, is run by people who don't really have much respect for any lives. And you'll notice how much black lives care about the principal cause of death among young African-American males. That is not at all, because that would mean actually cracking down on crime in the inner cities. And goodness knows, you couldn't have that. You couldn't have that. All right, 106.3 WORD, the Upstate's talk station. We're glad you're with us this afternoon and appreciate your presence out there. Looking out on some of the things that Biden has been talking about, some of the efforts that he's going to be making to try and change us with executive orders. First of all, executive orders in general are overly done, okay? Even if you've got executive orders, Donald Trump, in many cases, I don't know of an executive order Donald Trump issued that I didn't agree with. I just don't like the idea of executive orders in general, the notion of people, presidents ruling by dictate, by fiat, is anathema to me. Now, note, every president has issued executive, well, almost every president. William Henry Harrison didn't because he died a month into his office. But George Washington issued 8 of them. John Adams 1, Tom Jefferson 4, Madison, Monroe 1 each, Quincy Adams 3, and so on and so forth. Then you began to see more coming along. You got double-digit executive orders with Andrew Jackson and Martin Van Buren. You get up to Abraham Lincoln, you got up to 48 of them there. And then Ulysses Grant issued over 200 executive orders. And then Teddy Roosevelt issued over 1,000. And Woodrow Wilson over 1,800. Franklin Roosevelt, of course, was in office 12 years, issued 3,700 executive orders. But certainly since the end of World War II, we've been very much in the executive order vein. Eisenhower, 484, Johnson, 325, Nixon, 346, and so on and so forth. W. Bush, 291, Obama, 276, Trump, 204. We have too many executive orders. And the Supreme Court needs to be willing to rule on just how far a president can go with executive orders. Sometimes you need executive orders. Mostly, you don't. And if Congress can't go along, well, the founders would have said, fine, then Congress doesn't go along. But we have too many executive orders out there, and I'm sure that Biden will make us all realize that in very short order. This is 106.3 WORD, now at 95.1 FM in Clemson, Pickens, and Seneca, at 101.5 FM in Anderson, and everywhere on the radio.com app. Our time now on the Charlie James Show is 6:15.
T-Mobile has invested billions to light up America's largest 5G network, from big cities to small towns, including right here in yours. And great coverage is just the beginning. Right now, families and small businesses can save up to 20% versus AT&T and Verizon when they switch. Visit your local T-Mobile store today.
Plan savings with 3 lines of T-Mobile Essentials versus comparable available plans. Plan features and taxes and fees may vary.
Baseball is back, basketball is heating up, and the NFL Draft is right around the corner. Listen to the latest on the teams you love here on the Odyssey app. The biggest sports radio stations in the country, providing unrivaled local coverage of their teams, all in one place. Exclusive interviews with players, coaches, and team executives, streaming live and always available on demand. Stay in the know with your favorite teams right here on the Odyssey app.
Thank you for being with us this afternoon. We much appreciate it. It is now 6:20 at 106.3 WORD, the Upstate's talk station. And glad you are with us this afternoon to offer your thoughts either over the Ingalls Markets talk line 1-800-347-1063, 1-800-347-1063, or the Common Sense Retirement Planning text line 71307. 71307. By the way, Dan and Greer, if you wanted to talk about China, we're happy to do that if you want to join us. Again, at 1-800-347-1063. I think the texter said earlier, according to Karl Marx in Das Kapital, his signature writing, socialism is a necessary step on the way to communism. Now, he did say that. Let's take a look at where communism has held sway. The Soviet Union. There was no socialistic period. They went straight from the Tsar through a violent revolution right to communism. China, straight from what was an authoritarian free enterprise system under Chiang Kai-shek through a revolution straight to communism. Eastern Europe, straight to communism. Cuba, straight to communism. North Vietnam, North Korea, straight to communism. In point of fact, there's been no place where communism has held sway where there was ever a socialist first step. So, I know that's the theory, but in fact, communism, in its evil form, has always taken place through violent revolution, and it's been suddenly, there's been no socialist buffer zone there. So, for what that's worth, in any event, checking out what's happening on our Common Sense Retirement Planning text line here this afternoon at 22 past 6. Let's see here. Okay, well, we were talking about the BLM is named to hide intentions. That's very true. Looking at what Joe Biden is planning to do, he's certainly pushing us further to the left than we've ever been before. His policies are those that are looking more and more radical, even though the people he's picked are what you might call, I guess, gradualist liberals, progressives, Obama administration types. Many of them retreads from the Obama administration. How far will Joe go to the left? I don't know. And, you know, I'm not sure that Joe Biden knows, in all honesty. I mean, Biden is one of these people who just wanted to be president. Why? So he could be president, so he could have the fancy cufflinks and the free trips on Air Force One. I don't know that Joe had a lot that he really wanted to do. Now, if Bernie Sanders had been elected, oh, think about that for a minute, we would have definitely known what his agenda was. He would have been pushing us as far to the left as he could possibly do. And unfortunately, the executive orders from a Bernie Sanders would have been horrendous. They may yet be from Joe Biden. We don't know. Texter says, why do you keep talking about Biden? Biden is not going to do anything. Kamala Harris is going to run the show. We have no reason to believe that whatsoever. We keep hearing that. Joe Biden has wanted to be president for 33 years that we know of. He is going to absolutely be calling the shots. The thing of it is that when he calls the shots, he's going to be open to suggestions. There's no indication whatsoever that Kamala Harris is going to be doing anything other than what he wants her to do. This whole notion of how Joe is drooling and that Joe will not run anything, I don't buy that for 1 minute. I'll grant you he's shown those cognitive difficulties, but that doesn't alter the fact that he wants to be in charge even if he doesn't have an agenda that he's pushing. and that the far left is undoubtedly going to be suggesting an awful lot of that agenda. That's true, but I think Biden will serve a term completely all the way through, and we'll see if he wants to run again at age 82. We'll see. I don't know. But the idea that, Joe is just going to sit aside, not after as long as he's wanted to be president. Joe Biden has wanted to be president longer than any person alive today. He ran in 1988, failed miserably. Ran in 2008, failed miserably, although he was picked, of course, as Obama's running mate, which opened the door for this time around. Thought about running in 2016, but decided not to, and did run this time around. Biden is not going to just sit back and be a figurehead. There's no reason to believe that whatsoever. But he's going to be very open to suggestions. Another text says, Jimbo, your conservative president just got us $8.3 trillion more in debt in just one term and didn't repeal and replace Obamacare either. You Republicans just got scammed by the greatest con man in U.S. history. First of all, I have not called Donald Trump a conservative president because in many ways he wasn't. He was much more of a nationalist and a populist than a conservative, quite frankly. And yes, he didn't care a fig about the national debt. That's very true. He didn't care about government deficit. He cared about trade deficits only. He did not repeal and replace Obamacare. That's very true, although that was not his fault as much as it was Capitol Hill, where when the Democrats controlled both houses, they never came up with a replacement for Obamacare. So I'll certainly grant part of what you said, but Donald Trump was never, quote, a conservative, unquote. Not really. In some ways, but in many ways not. Certainly not a classic conservative. Again, much more of a nationalist and a populist than a conservative. So he was not my initial choice. You got down to the general elections, and we were down to Trump or Hillary. Trump was superior. You got down to Trump and Biden, Trump was superior. And I voted for him both times, but not under any illusion that he was, quote, a conservative or that he had any particular line of lifelong philosophical agreement with me, because I don't think that Donald Trump ever had a lifelong philosophical view of anything. He was a deal maker, and he discovered that adhering to conservatism was a way to get elected. Texter says Joe Biden will probably be one of the most hated presidents. I think that he may be pitied, and he may be ignored in some cases. I don't think he'll do enough to be hated, honestly. I really don't. I don't see people working up a serious case of genuine emotion about Joe Biden. Joe Biden, his name could have been replaced on the ballot with generic Democrat. His name could have been replaced on the ballot with I'm not Donald Trump. And that would have been sufficient to get just as many votes as he did. This whole election was a referendum on Donald Trump, and Joe Biden was incidental to the whole process. So, anyway, the Ingalls Markets talk line, 1-800-347-1063, 1-800-347-1063. The Common Sense Retirement Planning text line, 71307, 71307. We're entering new waters, to a certain extent uncharted waters, and I'm not sure that Joe Biden necessarily has a firm handle on exactly where he wants to go. And he'll be listening to a lot of people who want him to go far left. We'll see. I hope he doesn't. Jimbo for Charlie James, and the time is 6:29. How do you do, and good afternoon. Thanks for being with us today. 23 before 7 o'clock, and that, of course, is when we'll have the latest news once again, followed by Mark Levin. And always good to have Mark on our program as well, one of the great talk show hosts of our era. One thing that Joe Biden has promised to do is to pretty much welcome all kinds of, as they put it, immigrants. That means illegal aliens. But, of course, they'll be working to make them less illegal. And in particular, with this migrant caravan that has been creating all that ruckus down in Central America, Biden is saying, don't come, you won't get in immediately. Don't come, you won't get in immediately. Not now, later. And you have to wonder, has Joe been paying attention at all? I know, there are signs that he doesn't pay much attention to anything, but surely to goodness, someone must have pointed out to him the fact that these people who break into our country are not prone to stand by when we have this border that is not completely sealed. They just come in. And if Joe Biden is really so naive that he really thinks that he can simply say, don't come now, you won't get in immediately, that all of these people are going to say, oh, well, okay, we'll just wait. We'll be very calm, very peaceful. They're not going to do that. They're going to get north as fast as they can. They're not going to get here before he takes office anyway. And they're pretty sure that once he gets in, that once if they can break into this country, they're here to stay. And what's more, I suspect they're right. And maybe Biden admits that they're right. He talks a good game of saying that we want this to be an orderly transition and all of that, but he's not willing to do what's necessary to make it happen. His promise, for example, that he'll not build one more inch of that border wall. He doesn't like how it looks. Doesn't like the optics of it. It doesn't look inclusive enough for Joe and his liberal buddies. Well, you know, I'll tell you something. If you are really serious, Joe Biden, about an orderly transition of immigration, that border wall is going to look pretty good really soon. Will he not build another inch of it? Well, he was so adamant about that, he probably won't. Will he tear down any of it? You know, I tend to doubt that he will, because I think that he will find out real soon that that border wall is going to be real handy. Even, let's assume he's serious, all right, at 21 before 7. Let's assume that Biden is serious about wanting to be more inclusive in an orderly fashion. I'm not so sure that that's what he wants at all, but let's assume we'll take him at his word just for the sake of discussion. All right. How are you going to do it, Joe, when they can walk right across the border? You think that you are such a spellbinding orator? That was the problem, of course, with Obama. He thought that he turned the world on with his smile when he did not. But, Joe, you have no reason to think you turn on anybody with your smile or your mouth or anything else. What could you possibly say that will make these people suddenly stop rushing past our border as fast as they can, which they've been doing for decades now? But, oh, because Joe says to be slowing down, don't come now, you won't get in immediately. They're going to stop? I don't know. But if, in fact, he is serious about wanting an orderly transition to all these DACA types being approved and amnesty granted right and left, and we'll let in a lot more people, but really in an orderly fashion, the only way he can possibly do that is to build more wall, which will make the left very mad at him. Or he can just come out and stop the pretense and admit that he wants this place to be the international flophouse, that he wants open borders, which he swears he doesn't. Which, of course, includes, by the way, not only all those people who want to come here to work, but all those people who want to come here and mooch. It includes also human traffickers, drug dealers, drug cartels, and terrorists. Joe says he doesn't want any of that. How he's going to stop it, of course, without that wall, I guess he's going to wish really hard. Of course, he's talked about all kinds of high-tech things. We'll have sound detectors. We'll have drones. We'll have cameras. Yes. And when we do, we still won't be stopping them from coming in, but we'll see them. We can wave as they go by. And that apparently is what Joe wants. But I find that really fascinating. Don't come now. You won't get in immediately. Yes, they will, Joe. Yes, they will. And I don't know who you're trying to fool. Certainly nobody who lives on the border would be fooled by that. Are you fooling yourself? Do you really believe that? I mean, it is a sign either of naivete or of calculated cunning if Nancy Pelosi were in the White House, I would certainly know it was calculated cunning. Biden, I'm not sure. Maybe he really believes that they'll all hear him. Don't come, you won't get in immediately. Oh, well, okay. We'll take your word for it there, Mr. President Joe Biden. We'll take your word for it, and we'll just wait nice and patiently. I don't know, but I do know this, that this is not going to work. We're going to see an explosion across that border because these people coming north assume, and not unfairly, they assume that under Biden it's going to be a lot easier. And once you get in, you are much less likely to be caught, and you are much less likely to, in fact, be expelled. In fact, Biden thinks if you get in, it's almost like a game. Oh, well, you made it in illegally, but since you made it in, we're not going to expel you. We're certainly not going to send you back. That would be inhumane. I'll be very curious if Biden goes to putting kids in cages. You may recall the kids in cages under the Trump administration. Well, those cages were built under the Obama administration when they were not built as cages. No. They were shown to, for example, visiting congressional delegations proudly, and they were described as state-of-the-art detention facilities under Barack Obama. They only became cages for poor innocent children after Donald Trump was elected. So you're going to still have cages there, Joe, while people who try to break in are given their chance to fully explain why they should be a part of the American dream? I don't know, but that's going to be fun to watch. It'll be fun to see how well Joe Biden dissembles through the hypocrisy of the left. Are you going to admit that you're for open borders? You swear you're not. Well, which is it? Are you going to act like you are for open borders, even if you keep saying that you don't favor that? I don't know. But it will be fun to watch. The main problem, of course, is that the fun will be somewhat tempered by the fact that it's our country that is getting screwed in the process. For what it's worth, we pass it along on the Charlie James program, Jim Bohannon version of same. And this is 106.3 WORD, now at 95.1 FM in Clemson, Pickens, and Seneca, 101.5 FM in Anderson, and everywhere on the Radio.com app. Our time now, 15 minutes before 7 p.m. Afternoon, all. Thank you for being with us this afternoon. 10 minutes before 7 o'clock and Mark Levin time after the news. I want to read you a quote here. Moral principles have lost their distinctiveness. For modern man, absolute right and wrong are a matter of what the majority is doing. Right and wrong are relative to likes and dislikes and the customs of a particular community. We have unconsciously applied Einstein's theory of relativity, which properly describes the physical universe, to the moral and ethical realm. This mentality has brought a tragic breakdown of moral standards, and the midnight of moral degeneration deepens. Unquote. Dr. Martin Luther King Jr., whose day this is. I found that interesting. To what extent would King support the Democrats today? To what extent at all? I don't know. I know one other thing that today is, it's Blue Monday, the third Monday of January, which is supposed to be the most depressing day of the year. Is it really? First of all, you might look back to the origins of this day. It only goes back 16 years. Back in 2005, the now defunct British TV channel Sky Travel sent reporters a promotional announcement that with the help of a shrink, it had calculated the most miserable day of the year. Well, they had worked out a complex formula that considered factors such as the weather to devise people's lowest point. And the formula was meant to analyze when people booked holidays, assuming that people were most likely to buy a ticket to paradise when they were feeling down. And so they came up with the third Monday in January. That's where it began. It was a promotional stunt. I'm sure there are people who are affected by the seasonal blues, and that Blue Monday affects people around this time. Certainly there's no evidence that the third Monday of January is automatically the bluest day of the year, although this year for many people, of course, it is going to approach that. Maybe Wednesday the 20th would be more like the bluest day of the year. But that's where this came from. So if you hear about the term Blue Monday, it talks about a period of time when theoretically, this is supposedly about the weather, about dreariness. This was devised long before there was a pandemic of any sort. So I'm sure there are people who do feel that way. Pinning it down to a particular day is just, a promotional stunt, really. But there are people who feel that way. And so that's why we have Blue Monday. You hear people referring to that. That's what they're talking about. There was no Blue Monday as such before 2005. And there are those, I suppose, who will look at this as the period after the holidays. I always refer to the period from Thanksgiving through the end of a year as the silly season, and that one of my favorite days of the year, quite honestly, is January 2nd, because that's when it's over. And I'm not anti-holiday. I'm not opposed to the holidays, but we do get kind of crazy, maybe less so this past year, but we get kind of crazy from the whole Thanksgiving through Christmas through the New Year's period of time. And there's always, to me at least, something rather comforting about the January 2nd return to normalcy. Yes, you could certainly say that there was a certain level of relief, I guess, from the tedium of the year that kicks off around Thanksgiving. But enough already. We don't need 5 weeks of it. At least I don't. So I note that today is Blue Monday, even though I don't particularly observe it. It's not something you would celebrate, of course, but I have never observed Blue Monday and don't feel particularly blue on this day because of the season or anything like that. Actually, it was kind of a pretty day outside today as far as I was concerned. So it was not something that I felt was a blue day. Oh, so down. If anything makes me blue right now, it is the idea that all is lost, all hope is gone. No, it's not. The idea that there'll never be another free election. Please, if the Democrats had such complete control of the election, how do they lose seats in the House? How do they lose key races they wanted to win? How do they barely get control of the Senate? How do they not have working majorities for their pet projects? You can't get the Green New Deal through this Congress, and certainly not through this Supreme Court. You can't get free college for everybody through this Congress. Can't happen. The votes aren't there. Not enough Democrats on board this great socialist bandwagon. So it would be wrong to suggest that all is lost. This is not a good time, it's not a pleasant time, it's not a time that I would have preferred, but right now, I think the Democrats are facing a reality. I hope that Republicans face the same reality, and that is to say that they've got 2 years in which to take a shot at this. There's no guarantee whatsoever they're going to have either House of Congress after the 22 midterm elections. No guarantee whatsoever. It has been very close in both houses, and again, that's just by party label. You're not going to get a straight Democratic Party line vote for some of the wilder ideas. It's not going to happen. So the last thing I like to see is things like one texter that said, I'll never vote again. Well, I'll tell you something. That's what every liberal idiot out there, every progressive punk is hoping that you will say and hoping that you will feel and hoping that you will do. Now, more than ever, it's important to be sure that you are registered to vote and that you vote. Does cheating happen? Yes, it does. But the Democrats didn't win nearly enough to be controlling every single vote. Not nearly enough. Just a few things to keep in mind. All right, Jim Bohannon in for Charlie James. And we'll see when we're next in. Right now, I'm not scheduled to be but I'm sure we will be. And, of course, you'll be seeing Bob McLean back in the seat as well. Bob will be doing some filling in from time to time. Much appreciate your presence and your texts and your calls this afternoon and your thoughts. Don't let it be a blue Monday, all right, everybody? You take care. You have a wonderful Monday and an even better Tuesday. Jim Bohannon for Charlie James, and we'll pause now at 3 minutes before 7.
T-Mobile has invested billions to light up America's largest 5G network, from big cities to small towns, including right here in yours. And great coverage is just the beginning. Right now, families and small businesses can save up to 20% versus AT&T and Verizon when they switch. Visit your local T-Mobile store today.
Plan savings with 3 lines of T-Mobile Essentials versus comparable available plans. Plan features and taxes and fees may vary.
Baseball is back, basketball is heating up, and the NFL Draft is right around the corner. Listen to the latest on the teams you love here on the Odyssey app. The biggest sports radio stations in the country, providing unrivaled local coverage of their teams, all in one place. Exclusive interviews with players, coaches, and team executives, streaming live and always available on demand. Stay in the know with your favorite teams right here on the Odyssey app.